Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Seth and James here with you. Hope you're all having a good one out there. We are going to have some fun over the next hour, taking your phone calls, your sports thoughts, your sports feelings, your sports ramblings. And if you don't want to, I'll cover the rambling part.
He's got you covered. Just
got it covered. We got that already on the show. We don't need that. We appreciate y'all listening. Thanks big time to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. Phil joined us this morning with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
He did.
That was a lot of fun. Join our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Buy local, support local, support those that support us. Seth, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing all right. I wish the other computer was working better, but still, I'm doing all right.
I got to say, I'm starting to get into the swing of this. I'm starting to get used to coming in here in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying this. I'm loving hanging out with all y'all in the afternoons.
Yeah, it's been
about
a month
really
now.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's been really enjoyable. We've been having a lot of fun with this. We also encourage you to spread the word about the show. We want more and more people listening, more people calling up, and hearing more of what your guys' sports thoughts and feelings are. Mm-hmm. You hear Seth and I all the time.
Exactly.
You know, that's I did want to mention, as far as the new voice, Michael's going to be joining us on Friday.
Yeah.
He is our go-to, along with Randy, of course, for high school sports in this area.
Yep.
Between those two, I like our odds going into every the whole new high school season.
It's the high school season. We're going to be covering basically as many games as we can. We're going to try to cover as many schools as we can, too, in our listening area. So you might be hearing a few different schools presented this year. So stay tuned.
And we can do more and more if we have more and more sponsors.
That's right.
I mean, that's just the blunt truth of it. The more businesses, the more people that get in on this, the more games we can cover. That's how this has always worked. It's Radio 101. And we appreciate so very much the way this city supports high school sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
We appreciate everybody out there, but spread the word and let's get some more people on there. And then you businesses out there that are working with us, maybe a little off your plate.
Maybe
a little bit of that. Yeah, we'll get more and more people involved. I got a couple of things for us to get into today, Seth. One, I came across an article, who is the greatest summer Olympian of all time? America voted on this. We'll get what they have. I want to hear what you guys think.
Mm.
And even just off, I think this is a fun one. So certain topics I think are better off the top of your head. And there are certain ones that you want to look up and you want to get into.
Right.
I think this is one of those fun ones because as I was doing it, I caught myself really going reminiscing about some of these athletes and everything and some of those moments.
It's usually one of those things where one name pops in your head and then you start thinking of other names as you're like, oh, and then you're like, oh, but wait a minute, there was so-and-so and so-and-so. So, yeah.
I got a great thing here that I came across as well as far as the 2024 MLB Farm System rankings.
Oh.
Taking a look at that, seeing where local teams and all the teams really rank when it comes to that one. Do want to get into a little Brewer talk. I want to get the gauge the barometer out there of where Brewer fans are at, 1 through 10. Any nerves? Any feelings on this team? I got to imagine you might have felt differently 24 hours ago than you did before the game last night.
Right.
Now, Braves may have some beat ups in here and there and everything, but that's still beating the Braves.
Yeah.
Still beating
and
a good team.
And they're still a good team with some decent pitching. So, no. As an outsider looking at the Brewers, man, they are like the most workmanlike team right now. For some reason, they don't have, they don't have the big stars right now. I mean, they don't have their big pitchers are gone, except for maybe Freddie Peralta, and yet they continue just every day going out there, putting out a good game, winning games. Still, they continue to hold the lead over the St. Louis. And geez, I personally, if I were a fan, I'd be like, this is really cool. I don't really see any huge cracks coming up right now. So
testing.
It will be interesting to see where that goes in there. That was great. A shout out to our good friends over at the Rafters getting ready to go. We will lead you into Rafter baseball here, and we will talk some Rafter baseball as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to get into right now, there are a couple of receivers out there that are by all means on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear how Packer fans feel about that one. Now, I had this question set up long before, though anybody didn't hear out there, during training camp today, practice, Christian Watson got tangled up with Evan Williams, came down pretty hard. He's okay.
Oh, that's good.
But he was on the ground for a while. So this has nothing to do with that. That young man has had trouble staying healthy his whole career.
That's every time, the moment you said that, I was like, ah!
Yeah, yeah. But it does bring up a good point. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting a big year from him. I think he's going to have a good year. Mm-hmm. But to expect not just him, any NFL player
yep.
to last. And again, if you're the Packers, you're not looking at this as an 18-game or 17-game mm-hmm. season.
Right.
You're looking at this as a 20, 21-game season.
Yep.
You're looking to play longer. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that,
yep.
I'm curious, hey, more bodies. And if you yeah. can get one of these nice receivers, would you do it if you're GM?
Yes.
And that's what my question is to the audience out there. So we'll get yep. into that, too, and plenty of other fun things. Got our stat of the show coming up as well.
All right.
All of that. But I want to start right in one unique, wonderful place, Seth.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches.
It's such a great line. It's such a great line.
I love the guy sitting next to him and the looks he's giving him. It's so good.
And like the third or fourth watch of Major League, those are the things that you notice that are just hilarious. His straight face or his just kind of like
yeah.
complete mm. like, what? Are you, I don't
what?
Think you could say that, yeah. sir. I don't, but I did play that, not just because, God, it feels good to hear Uecker.
Yeah, right.
It just feels good. And the comedic timing of Bob Uecker can never be underrated.
Second to none.
But a new documentary about the famed 1982 Milwaukee Brewers from former CBS Entertainment president Kelly Call and Cannonball Productions will screen exclusively in Marcus Theaters in September.
Wow.
Just a bit outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers will debut September 13th in 12 Marcus Theaters throughout southeastern Wisconsin, including Green Bay, Appleton, Oshkosh, Madison, and Sheboygan.
All right. Dude, this just could say Sheboygan. That's why.
Yes, absolutely. That and to play the Uecker line. That's, yeah, yeah. that's the whole reason for this. I'm a big fan of documentaries. I'm
right.
excited about this. I think mm-hmm. this would be pretty cool. I'll be being honest with the audience. I know the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
I know the details, basically, of that 82 World Series. I don't know much else. I mm-hmm. don't know the heart of it. I don't
right.
know some of those things. I'm fascinated by that, and I'd love to see that. I'm sure that I'm not alone. I'm sure there's mm-hmm. a lot of people
yeah,
out there
right.
that might want to. So, again, this is going to be seen in a handful of cities around here. I don't know. Appleton, Oshkosh, Madison, probably one of the closer ones. I'm going to keep a lookout on this for when it does premiere next month,
mm-hmm.
and I will keep the audience in the loop on that from
yeah.
what I find.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
That's going to be pretty
that's
interesting.
That's a great title, by the way.
Yes.
I know that movie came out after the 82 Brewers, but that team, man, that had some characters on it.
Really did.
A little bit outside. Just a little bit outside.
Yeah. yeah. And it's quite interesting, especially with the given conversation that we have been having over the last couple of weeks with Brewer fans out there about
yep.
the idea that a lot of Brewer fans think that they will never see a World Series in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not letting that go because I want to flip that.
Mm-hmm.
I want Brewer fans to have some hope. I want Brewer fans to be able to feel like this can
yep,
happen.
Exactly.
And I think possibly this doc might help with that. I think that it might, at the very least, it'll be a fun trip down memory lane and interesting to see.
And the thing that was so great about that postseason wasn't just, you know, it was a good World Series, went to seven games, you know, they were on the short end of it. But man, the league championship series the Brewers had mm-hmm. that year, losing the first two to the then California Angels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then coming back with three in a row to win the pennant, that hit by Cecil Cooper, you know, that the famous hit that just dribbled
yeah.
through the right side of the infield, man. It's good stuff. Good stuff.
It's an interesting moment in baseball history.
Yes.
So it'll be fun to get over. And if anybody wants, especially anybody that lived through that wants to talk about it, please feel free to call up and join us. And especially once you see the documentary.
Yes.
Want to know what you think. Want to know what you're thinking. I might travel for that one. My brother lives right over there in Appleton and everything. See if, I know he's a diehard Brewer fan. See if he wants to go see it or something.
that, yeah.
Nick and I haven't been to a movie since Jumanji probably. So it's been a long time. Been a long time.
I love that though. I love it. Yeah. Yeah.
According to a new poll, we have a true all-time Olympic champion for Summer Olympics.
Okay, all right.
Who is the greatest Summer Olympian of all time?
Of all time.
All time, time, time. Who is the greatest? We want your vote. 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Mm-hmm. We can go ahead and get some names out there to get the ball rolling.
Okay.
But according to the country that the whole country voted in on this one, the winner is swimmer Michael Phelps with 19% of the vote.
That's the first name that popped into my head, I got to be honest.
And the only thing shocking to me is that it's only 19%
of
the vote.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit higher than that.
It's pretty hard to kind of – I feel like this conversation is more who is second all time. Yes. And it's not even close.
It's a race for silver at this point, yes.
The top three are, we'll say, gold, silver, and medal winners of this.
There you go, right,
Michael
right.
Phelps takes the gold at 19%. Simone Biles finished a close second with 16%.
I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, and Jesse Owens comes in third with 9% of the vote, and
that
makes my heart pretty warm to think of that.
Oh man, I can't think of a more famous Olympian than Jesse Owens. It's the cool thing is that we keep talking about it,
mm-hmm.
and he's still that well known. You know, almost 100 years since he was there. That's really cool.
It's really. I mean, it's just a testament not to just to the games, but to mm-hmm. the human spirit.
Yes,
because it's 100%. Not just here in our states, but it's all around the world that this is. That they not only is his legacy, but mm-hmm. is the memory of this. And yep. and there's some great names on this list. Jim Thorpe came in at number 5.
Wow.
Katie Ledecky, Mark Spitz, Mary Lou Retton, a bunch of great names.
Those are all greats, man. Mark Spitz was up. Well, that was one of the first names I thought of, too.
Now, this is more of the greatest American Summer Olympian of all time.
Right.
But I do think if you expand this a bit, you got to include like a Usain Bolt.
100%.
I don't know, especially some of the – before I understood what Michael Phelps was, this was why we were watching some of the summer games was him. Michael Jordan needs to be thrown in there.
Right.
Jordan appeared in the Olympian Games twice, picked up gold medals both times because he's Michael. Serena Williams, another great one. Williams. Wow. Secured her spot as one of the best tennis players in history, earning 4 gold medals during her 4 appearances.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Just an incredible career for Serena.
Wow.
When you look at all of this, Diana Taurasi, another great mm-hmm. name on the women's side. And mm-hmm. I wanted to wrap up with one of my first favorite Olympian, I think, other than Jesse Owens, Flo-Jo, Florence Joyner.
Florence Griffith Joyner, yes.
Good. Went from bank teller to Olympian champion, finished her Olympic career with 3 gold medals and 2 silver medals, and captured the title as fastest woman in the world after smashing the 200-meter record with a time of 10:49, a record that still stands today.
Oh, that I didn't know. Wow.
And that is our stat of the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, 10:49 mm-hmm. still holds up, man. Nobody's beaten Flo-Jo.
Man, between her and Jackie Joyner-Kersee, when they were both at the top of their game, the fact that they were, you know, related too, which is kind of cool. But they, the 88
cool.
Olympics? They were both in the 88 Olympics together. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Man, they were good.
Oh. That was a beautiful time.
Yes.
Nadia Comăneci from Romania, the mm-hmm. gymnast.
Yes.
I do remember her.
I do remember her too.
Dana Torres, great racer. And a name that I wasn't familiar with, but a shout out to People Magazine in their article here, Isabel Wirth from Germany.
Equestrian. Okay.
Equestrian.
Yeah.
Thank you. Equestrian. Took home a plethora of medals during her stint as an Olympic competitor, collecting at least 1 gold in each Olympians from 92 to 2020. Wirth won a total of 7 gold and 5 silver medals, making her one of the most decorated riders in equestrian dressage.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive.
Well, the other thing is that that's something you can do for a long time.
Does feel like a sport you can do for
You can do that for a while, yeah.
Does feel like, I mean, man, I don't.
Who's
I don't,
doing the work? Is it you or the horse, you know?
I've wondered this my whole life about horse racing. One, how do I really feel about it? To be honest with everybody, because mm-hmm. It's never really sat that well with me.
Right.
But, you know, keeping things moving here, who should get the awards? Like, I mean, the horse gets a carrot.
Yeah, well, now, you know, and to be
the
fair.
The rider wins thousands of dollars or a gold medal or something like that.
I don't think the horse would mind.
Right,
is that, what's it going to do with a medal? What's it going to do with money?
Right.
It just wants
some
nice hay and oats, you know? Yeah. Let's go for that.
I mean, it would literally eat money. That's all
that's
it would
all
do
it would
with
do.
It. That's all they, what we pay
oh,
the
this
horse
is terrible. Why am I eating this?
Man, this horse is horrible at the stock market. Horrible. Horrible investor with its money. It just eats it all.
Oh, goodness.
Carl Lewis certainly deserves a mention as well. But we want to know what your vote is, everybody. 715-424-2600. Who is your greatest summer Olympian of all time? We can keep it to a America. We can expand it to other countries, of course, but I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts on that one.
Yeah.
It's a fun conversation. It's one of those ones, like I was saying before, I think it's fun off the top of your head kind of conversation.
Right, right.
We were talking a little Brewers there with the documentary coming out and everything, and I did come across something that I thought was quite interesting, Seth, about MLB farm systems.
Okay.
And very cool. These are always interesting this time of year, not only to build hope for teams that maybe just got done getting out of a 21-game losing streak. Oh yeah, there's only two of those. Never mind.
Oh, did you before the game last night? The White Sox won. Did you hear what the Athletics did before the game? They played Taylor Swift's 22.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good. Oh, well done, Oakland. Nice. Nice. And you're lucky it wasn't you, because the roles could be reversed.
They could be reversed.
Easily. But that
well played.
And got to be, if that was your decision to do that, how do you feel about the team that lost that game?
Yeah, right.
That can't feel too good. Shout out to Kylie McDaniel, ESPN insider writer for baseball. Does a really nice job reporting there. They put together the rankings of the best MLB farm systems right now, and thought this would be an interesting just glance at before we go to our first time out. And the number one farm system in baseball, not too surprising, the Baltimore Orioles.
Still.
Preseason $361 million. Their current top prospect, Jackson Holliday, who has been up a bit.
Yeah,
he's on your team, isn't he?
I do have him, and his second stint so far has gone much better than the first time he was called up. So
it's funny how some players, that's all they need.
Yep,
they just need like a game or two, let alone a week in the you know Triple A or something like that. Get them back up to the show, and they're okay.
Remember, he's 20 years old, man.
Yeah.
Jackson Holliday's only 20 years old. He came up. He had, literally miserable showing. I mean, he had to be sent back down. And I think it shook his confidence because it took him a while to come back. But right now, he's doing pretty good. So, yep.
Tampa Bay is second. Carson Williams, shortstop for them, is their top prospect.
No surprise there. They're almost always in the top five, usually. So.
And I should have mentioned this beforehand. This list was done before the trade after the trade deadline.
Right.
So this is considering all the trades that have been made for
The
teams and the prospects they have lost in that process.
Very cool, yeah.
And even with that being being considered, in third place, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Still.
Incredible, man. Like, that really is noteworthy.
It is. With the trades they made and everything to get these guys, and they still have lots of talent in there. Man.
I can't say the Dodgers not only didn't reach, but didn't make a huge, trade.
No, they didn't. There wasn't a massive,
I don't know that they necessarily had to give up too many top prospects because there wasn't anything too much out there.
No.
I'm sure they would have if they could have gotten a Vlad Guerrero or somebody like that, but that wasn't really in the cards.
But that would have been, and they would have had the prospects to get it, a guy like that. But obviously, there wasn't. It was too, either the price was too high, or they just didn't end up wanting to do it. So,
as a side story here, as I digress, I did think another interesting topic that I've heard recently from a couple of Steve Stone and a couple guys like that talking about. Well, the MLB got rid of their second trade deadline. This is it. The way the teams are, that's the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the crazy outlier that happened last year with the Los Angeles Angels of Santa Fe and all that and everything. That they just let, hey, Lucas Giolito, you're out of here. And just cut ties with a couple of players that maybe didn't end up meaning too much in the scheme of things, but was still kind of like a little surprising.
Right.
Apparently, you're going to see that again this year. Not necessarily from the Angels, but from a team that came close but didn't quite make it.
Yep.
And maybe a guy they traded for, they just drop him.
Yeah.
The Yankees have already done this. The Yankees traded for somebody and dropped him already.
Right, right.
I can't even remember the guy's name.
Yeah, they just released him, yeah.
That's kind of interesting to me as a side note. Like, wow, I wonder what team.
That happened to a couple of players. The Phillies did the same thing, too. Or, Baltimore did. They took Christian Pache, I think, from Phillies, and they immediately released him. And now I believe he's playing in Florida. One of those two, okay. But yeah.
It's we've gone from, is your team a buyer, a seller, or a giver?
Yeah, right.
Hey, take it. Hey.
And what if you release a player, if you just outright release him, you still got to pay him.
Yeah, that's
the contract
what I don't
is still in
about
effect.
This. It almost seems spiteful. It almost seems like
so that means that another team can pick him up, pay him the league minimum because he's already got a contract,
right?
And There you go. So
that is, and the only reason I bring it up is because the reputable people that I think have been mentioning, be on the lookout for this.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be surprised if the Mets or a team like that, or some of the, or Toronto or somebody does that.
It's possible.
You're not going to see a Vlad Guerrero get cut.
No, no, no.
But you might see a, you know, a guy a tier under that, which could make it quite interesting. But as it is, it took me the reminder of, oh wow, yeah, this is the way the teams are set. Like, there's nothing else.
For the
going
most
on.
Part, they are, yeah.
You guys coming up and down, injuries and here and there and stuff.
And a lot of guys will get put on waivers, too, in August, and then we'll see what happens there, too. There's a chance there might be a couple of trades, but that's
might
about it.
Might be some call-ups, some of that. At fourth place in this listing of the best MLB farm systems in baseball, the Minnesota Twins.
Ooh, I didn't realize their system was that good again.
Current top prospect, Walter Jenkins, center fielder.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good.
The moves the Twins made, even here and there, have only strengthened their farm system, according to experts here.
They recently called up their top prospect, Brooks Lee, and he has done a very good job. Hmm. He's basically at shortstop right now since Carlos Correa is out with an injury. So,
as it is, you've got the Nationals coming in at number five. Interesting, the White Sox are at number eight. That's kind of interesting, but you know,
it's better. It's better than being the 29th, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not bad.
St. Louis isn't that high up there at 15, but you have to go to 17 to see the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right in the middle of the pack there, yeah.
Jefferson Cuaro, catcher, is their top prospect. Keeping in mind that some of their bigger prospects, like a Jackson Churio and stuff, have been called up and been playing.
He was their number one prospect. They got Joey Ortiz, who was a prospect before he started playing being a regular this year. So a lot of those guys that were prospects aren't anymore because now they're regular players. So.
And Ortiz and Robert Gasser had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, TJ, yeah.
He's going to be a nice addition next year. Blake Burke and Braylon Payne are some nice rookies that they picked up this year from the MLB draft. Mm-hmm. Should be interesting.
Definitely need pitching.
Yeah, yeah. And that leads me to one more side story before we go to our first break here.
Okay.
And it ties into all of this and with the farm system and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious of it, bringing these guys up and when to bring them up. That question always comes up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's always
yes,
there.
Yes, that's always a big question.
But if you are always building for the future, where can you go in the present?
Mm. That's the question, yeah.
And the more I don't want to dismiss the Brewer fan that doesn't believe in a World Series is in their future.
Right.
But when I see stuff like that or I think of things that way, it does make you wonder. And I'm in the same position with I'm in a worse position with the White Sox.
Right.
So there's no signs of hope there.
Right.
It's going to take a lot more than an ESPN article and the Sox showing up at 8 on the farm system list to build any hope there. I am a little interested with the way that this looks for the Brewers. And when you're always building for the future, you know, what does that do for your present?
Yes.
And what will it take other than management changes and things to get to that?
Back in the 20 aughts, whatever you want to call those, you know, the first decade of this the century, the Twins were like that. They had good teams, you know, they won the Central Division several times then. But they were always holding on for the future, and I think that in the end hurt them in their chances in the playoffs.
Mm.
They could have gotten that one guy, you know, maybe that that really knockout starter they needed, you know, one of those flamethrower guys that could have done more for them or given them a better chance in a short series when you get to the playoffs. They were not built for the playoffs. They were built for the regular season.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they paid for it. You know, they lost 18 postseason games in a row.
Yeah.
Until last year when they finally broke that. But that's the problem. And I'm glad to see that a team like Baltimore, who last year under old ownership, we have to be, you know, they got bought by a new group. Mm. So this year they did a lot more at the trading deadline. And I was very happy to see this because they can't sit on. Okay, there's four positions in the infield. Guys, you've got like eight guys who are infielders. You can't fit them all. You can't fit them all in there. You got to trade and get some other stuff that you need.
Boston got lucky winning this championship recently because, they earned it, of course. But right. they got lucky in the sense that they had 9,000 draft picks they were sitting on yes. and not doing anything with.
Right.
And now, like years later, they finally get somewhere. Oklahoma City is in a situation like this with in basketball. Mm-hmm. They got all these picks, but okay, but you got to start winning eventually.
Exactly. You got to play for the now sometimes.
So this final question that I have of the first half here, and it's to you, Seth, as much as it is to the audience. We've talked endlessly about would baseball be better with a salary cap? Mm-hmm. And I think that's, there's plenty of hits and misses on that one. And I don't know if we're ever going to see it in baseball. But I am curious about one thing that I do think that we're hearing more rumblings about and does not get talked about much. Would baseball be better if you could trade draft picks?
That is right now being discussed.
And it's gotten more heat than it's ever had before. Mm-hmm. And for one, I think that to some people out there, that might actually be the stat of the show, that you can't trade draft picks in baseball.
You cannot.
I don't think there's people out there that know that. Mm-hmm. And so that might even just be news right there. But if you're able to do that instead of a top prospect, or you're able to do that instead of that, that guy at the end of the bench that everybody likes and he's great on the team, or mm-hmm. Maybe a team that is desperate and looking to do something. Maybe they don't have to give up some of their top talent and just trade. Or
right.
Some of these teams won't have to do some of that as far as like a team like the Brewers mm-hmm. or a team that's struggling, but they got a chance. And they could do something, but they're afraid about spending the future today. Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not as bad if you're trading draft picks, or vice versa. You can get draft picks mm-hmm. and you don't mind trading prospects.
Yep.
But you throw that into the mix, and I feel like your teams that are on that second tier, your Milwaukees, your Oaklands, your White Sox, your Twins, some of these teams, maybe they don't have to give up the whole farm. Maybe you do give up some picks. So you're still costing yourself a piece of the future, but not everything.
Right.
You're beholden to these draft picks when if you're the Yankees or the Dodgers or some of these teams, I mean, it's a blessing to you. I just gave you the Dodgers are the third best farm system.
Still have a great farm system, yeah.
But you're still drafting late. Mm-hmm. You're still, yep. I mean, it still takes good scouting. If I'm the Dodgers or one of these teams, I'm begging baseball to let me do this.
Yeah.
Begging them. Because for one, I've proven I can draft at the end of the draft for the next 10 years, and I'm going to be okay because of my scouting system. Because mm-hmm. I can find.
If you're like the Rays or something like that, yeah, absolutely. They've shown they can do it. I think it's moving towards that. From what I have heard and what I've read and everything like that, it sounds like this is, of course, there has to be an agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Union to do this because it involves work, stuff. So if anything like that, it has to go into the collective bargaining agreement. So that'll be part of it, and I'm sure those discussions are ongoing. But I would not be surprised if in maybe a year or two, this does happen. I think it might.
I think it's interesting. I'm really excited to see what happens with it, just in the sense of the storyline, to be honest with you. I think that part's even interesting. But I do think it would open things up for more mid-market teams. And I think that it would be a blessing to any team, really, in baseball.
I would be fascinated to see how the value of that goes when they start trading it. What do these GMs and owners feel? That what's the value of these draft picks? I'd be fascinated because baseball, in that sense, is different from other sports. I'd really be interested to see how that works.
We'll be back with more Playmakers and your phone call, 715-424-2600. Phone lines are open. Get in the game, everybody. We want to hear from you. And we'll be back with more Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
And rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kellner.
Thank God.
Relax, we're only 4 runs down.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James hanging out with you. Got a couple topics out there for you to chew on. Mm-hmm. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Love to hear from you. Love to talk a little Rafters. As I hate to be the person, if you didn't know, or break bad news or anything, but the Rafters have officially been eliminated from the playoff run.
That's correct.
It is not out of not trying. It is not out of trying, given everything they had this season.
They had a good second half, for sure.
We do, real quick, do want to mention, as we talk a little Rafters, I do want to mention a couple of things about them. One, we have some tickets still here. here. We have some food vouchers here.
Yeah.
Anytime we are doing Playmakers, now until the end of the season, which I know isn't a lot of time here, but anytime we are, you guys want tickets, call up. Give me one of your favorite Rafter memories. And you can win. It's just like that. That's all you got to do.
One of the best I saw this year was when Max McGuire hit a grand slam. He hit three grand slams this year.
That's
crazy. That's the best part was when he came back and his teammates, you know, the guys he knocked in were there. They did the Bash Brothers forearm bump.
So cool.
Love it. So love that. It was awesome.
Cool. That's so darn cool, young man. That's well done. Well done. Really hope, I don't know the odds of it, but would love to see him back next year.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. I don't know the odds of that.
No.
We may even be seeing him in the MLB.
Yeah.
Either way, we've been appreciative of the Rafters this season from the top of the organization right on down and to every single one of these players, all these host families. A big thank you to all of those. My favorite moment with the Rafters was the 2016 year that they were winning. They were on the way to the World Series, but it wasn't the World Series game. It was the home playoff game we had that we got to broadcast live from Winter Field.
Oh.
We set up a table out there, and Bob and I took the table. Carl was bopping around doing interviews. It was awesome. It was one of the funnest things I've ever been a part of.
Awesome.
It was a really cool moment, and we were really appreciative to be able to do something like that. I think we might have to again next year. Might have to try to do something like that again.
I think we should. I think it's about time, right?
We got 3 days of Playmakers a week, man. I mean, why
there's
not
be we'll at least
spend
one
of them with our friends at Winter Field and stuff? I think that'd be pretty fun. We'll be in the works on that in the off season. I did want to let you know, currently this season, tonight is Unsung Hero Award winner night.
Yeah.
We want to send a humongous shout out to Janine Clemen from Lincoln High School. She's an art teacher over there. She is the award winner for tonight. Mm-hmm. She's going to have her own bobblehead. We'll have an artist Roscoe bobblehead out there. That is one we're missing.
That is true.
Any listeners out there. But a shout out to the Skyward, and this being the Skyward Unsung Hero Appreciation Night. Mm-hmm. All teachers receive a free ticket thanks to M3 Insurance. A shout out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Get on down there. The Rafters Ball Winterfield opens up an hour before first pitch.
Yep.
So it's already open over there. You can head on over and get a good seat. Keep in mind as well, Friday, August 9th against Green Bay Rockers. Firework Friday, $6 Rocky Rococo Pizza.
Last Friday of the year.
Get it. Get it and enjoy, yes. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Enjoy. Have fun at Winterfield as much as you can. And then Saturday, August 10th, final game of the season. Going to be some fireworks. Kids are going to be able to run the bases. Fans are encouraged to be a part of the celebration. Share your stuff on social media with Rafters Community Heroes or Roll Rats or any of the hashtags. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that they know how much we appreciate them, how much we've enjoyed this season, and get excited about next year.
Yep. We'll be with us again. Yeah.
Find out about Northwoodsleague.com. And as a final note on this, I did also want to mention that the Rafters are with us again next year.
Yep.
So we will have our Rafters here next year. And I will say personally, I will work my tail off to be able to get more of them on the air. I don't want to get into too many details about this or anything, but we just weren't able to get players and Andy on with us in some of these things. And we will do better too. All of us will. And us will do better next year to do that.
Right. And they had a change of personnel in the middle of the season that kind of really threw a wrench into things. So that's why we haven't had as much. Yeah. People from the Rafters here this year. That's what happened. So.
Enjoy your Rafters this last week of the season that we've got here and everything. And get to Winterfield as much as you can, everybody, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Did want to also mention a segue right into our River Kings, because October is when things kick off for the River Kings.
Oh, my God. It's so fast.
It's so close.
It's coming up so fast.
October 26th and 27th, Hudson Havoc, they'll be playing.
Ooh, that's a good team.
Home games at Southwood County Rec Center. Game times are 7 o'clock, unless noted otherwise. And games are Friday and Saturday, of course, except the first weekend, which is a Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a really fun season. We've been talking with Coach in the off season here, on air, off air. He's excited. These players are excited. They want to go right now. They would be ready to go right now if they could.
Well, why? Of course they do.
Because that's what a hockey player is.
Yeah.
Looking forward to having River Kings players on with us and coach and everything in our fourth period. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot of fun to continue to do that. So I wanted to touch touch on just a couple of other things, Seth, you know, in the show here, but we want to go wherever direction you guys do. 715-424-2600. I had Sheriff Becker on with us just a little bit ago, and one of the things Sean noted that I thought was very noteworthy is it is football season. It is officially football season.
No. We got just a little bit of time.
Football.
Don't jump the gun. Stop it.
I hear you, and I counter with football. It is funny, though. It is kind of funny, I should say. It's not all that funny if you are a big-time baseball fan like yourself other people out there and everything. Now, in some ways, I do kind of so as somebody who's always liked fringe sports, I kind of like that they're not necessarily as gigantic as football or something like that.
Right.
I kind of like that. I want hockey to be popular. I want it to be celebrated. But I also kind of enjoy the fact that you don't just run into a random hockey fan. Right. If you run into somebody that knows hockey, they're a pretty good fan.
Yeah.
They know the sport pretty well.
Right.
Baseball is somewhat similar to that, but you have a little bit of hanger-ons, a little bit of bandwagon jumpers.
Right. Just because of the length of time baseball's been around. It's been around for so long.
If you can counter this, if you disagree, please let me know. But I believe that there is no sport by far and away that has more bandwagon jumpers than football, where people who don't even know anything about the sport, anything about a player, if their team is winning, they are going to show up. Not every fan base is like that. Some fan bases never go. Go away.
Of course.
Win or
even
lose,
they don't have a
there.
Team.
Right. Yes. Nice notes. Nice.
Look at you, Cleveland.
Yeah. But I do think that it's interesting when it comes to as far as where they go from there.
Yeah.
And as far as the fan bases go. And I do want to talk a little football as we are in getting ready in for that season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, Christian Watson seems to be good after an injury scare in practice today. It looks like TJ Slayton for the Packers is one of the bigger interesting pieces that is showing up right now in these early days of training camp. And I'm kind of curious about that part of it. So most NFL coaches have come out this week and said that their starters are going to play a couple series this week.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of talk about this over the years of should players play, shouldn't they play? Famously, there's a handful of players I know growing up, like LaDainian Tomlinson and people like that, who going into his second year never played a down in preseason. And that's back in the day when starters did play like the first two games
of
the
preseason. A little bit more, right, yeah.
Not LT. He had it in his contract because of injuries, scares, and some of that.
And just the sheer amount of work.
Yeah.
I mean, for a guy like him, how many touches did he have in a season? My goodness, he was constantly with the ball, but
definitely one of those careers that has been underrated.
Oh, 100%, man.
So I'm curious, if you out there want to see starters in these games, if you think that it's a good idea or not. Now, there's more than enough to be said and the more than enough football player quotes to tell you that this is as much a mental as a physical thing. Mm-hmm. Their body's got to get used to this again. Their body's got to get in the condition again of taking a hit as well as giving a hit, of mentally being in that type of mindset that not only do you got to go out there and you're going to take a hit. I don't care if you're a kicker. You're going to get knocked on the ground. Your jersey's going to get dirty. This is your job. This is your life. Mm-hmm. Like getting used to that again. So I don't think that there's any argument necessarily of if they should or they shouldn't play some downs.
Right.
But what game, how much they play, do you want to see them out there? Do you wish it was more old school and how it used to be where these guys played like almost a game sometimes?
Right.
I'm curious. I'm curious what people think out there, especially given how much every year more is put on these players, more is put on these franchises. The money rises. There's more and more eyeballs on this. It's not going down anytime soon. The golden goose is still kicking out golden eggs for you. So with that being said, I mean, when it comes to almost every NFL team, I don't know if there's a team out there that is different than this. Your starting quarterback goes down. What are you doing?
What are you going to do?
Next year. Well, next year, maybe we'll get him, everybody. Boy, next year. One player goes down, and the entire season is off, whether it's week one or it's week 17. With that on the line, I don't know how you let these guys out of your sight. Like the money they just gave Jordan Love, like, I'm sorry, you're living at Lambeau now. You live here.
We'll give you
here.
A cot, and then sleep it right there.
Look, we got a great spot for you. It's air conditioned. It's nice. It's got, you know, it's warm in the winter. But you are not leaving here. You are. I'm not saying they own him by any means or anything like that.
Right.
I'm saying that the investment that takes place with the money on the line and the stakes on the line, it really does make you like. Well, what do you? How do you protect yourself?
Oh,
not
wow.
only your investment, but how do you protect these players going into the most dangerous game?
I'm going to wait for the thing I'm looking towards is the first team that blinks. Because right now we're in an arms race, almost literally, because it's the quarterback arm, right?
Yeah. Nice.
But that's where we're at, because the reason the quarterback is so important is because every offense is around that quarterback. That's where they're at right now. It's all focused on the quarterback. And eventually something's going to have to give. So when that one team comes up and says, you know, like, oh, no, we're not going to have one Patrick Mahomes. We're going to have two decent quarterbacks. Maybe we'll switch them out, you know, on plays kind of thing. They used to do that back in the day. Not a lot, but it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have – but in the case one of them gets injured, that's okay because we got this other guy. Mm-hmm. But – we don't have the entire offense focused on just one person.
Right.
We spread it around, and maybe we find other things that you can do.
Well,
it's gonna have to happen at some point, because I don't think they can keep going this way.
To that point, I think the Packers have some pretty nice weapons. Mm-hmm. I think there's a handful of teams that do and can say that.
That's true.
But you're always looking in this arms race to add arsenal.
Absolutely.
And with that, you don't get good talent out there very often. And you have Brandon Ayuk according to many sources, Devontae Adams are both on the market to a degree. So I'm curious, whether you're a Packer fan or you're one of these teams on the fringe, do you trade for one of these guys? Now, I think that there is something to be said for certainly the locker room. There's a lot to be said for the locker room, especially in football.
Mm.
But the idea that a guy is a knucklehead here doesn't mean he's going to be a knucklehead there. It does sometimes. Randy Moss was left Minnesota.
Famous, yeah.
And was pretty bad in Oakland. But in New England, he wasn't.
Yep, he was pretty darn good there.
His teammates still talk about him in New England. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's an atmosphere thing. Sometimes it's a chance of, oh, I just went from, I don't think we're going to win a game this season, to we're going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that attitude mindset.
Yep.
Look at a Jazz Chisholm right now with New York. things like that.
Yeah.
So you bring one of these guys in, and you've got the most popular word in sports, culture. You know, and you get them inside your culture and your coaching staff and everything. I think you have to look at them very differently, literally in your jersey than in the one they are currently in.
Right.
So obviously you've got a little history with Devontae Adams. I think
right.
it's pretty far-fetched to think he would end up in Green Bay
but
again.
But I can't imagine any team that wouldn't want Brandon Ayuk.
Yes.
I mean, he's something else. I highly doubt he's going anywhere, but how much you'd have to pay for him is the thing. That's the sticking point right now.
And
yeah.
that's the only reason he hasn't been traded.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that Cleveland and Pittsburgh are two teams that have been in the running for him, mm-hmm. and it's just a matter of them kind of like who's gonna give him more, who's gonna blink first, that kind of thing.
What would you in Pittsburgh though?
Pittsburgh's such an interesting thing because a lot of teams outside of the a lot of fan bases, a lot of teams mm-hmm. will look at them from the outside and say, well, they're still building. They're trying to figure out quarterback. They're trying to figure out another, you know, this and this position. But if you are coached by Mike Tomlin, all of a sudden that changes everything. And every year is a possible year that you might win right. in the Pittsburgh fan base.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that realistically necessarily that.
Right.
So for them, they're doing all of these things to try to put bandages on the holes in the boat. And because they do have some talent, and they keep winning even when they don't have a quarterback.
It's crazy. I'm sorry. If you've got Art Smith as your offensive coordinator,
yeah.
what is he going to do with and the quarterbacks? I'm sorry. I just don't see that. Cleveland makes more sense to me than Pittsburgh would.
I'm rooting for Justin Fields. I'm even rooting for Russell Wilson. I like both those guys. I look forward to seeing what they do.
With that offensive coordinator,
I don't know what's going to happen.
No.
I don't know how that – I think that you're both those guys.
Last 3 years in Atlanta, that's what I'm saying.
This might be a hot take, but I don't think either one of them are going to be in a Pittsburgh uniform next year. I think both of them, if Russell Wilson doesn't retire, he'll be playing somewhere else.
I think you're right.
And Justin Fields will definitely be playing somewhere
100%, 100%.
Else. 100%. I feel like, you know, they might change during the course of the year and how these guys play out and everything, but that's more than likely what's going to happen.
Yep.
Which means why are you doing this if you're Pittsburgh and bringing in the brand? But
I don't know.
You know, who knows?
I don't think he's going there. But anyway,
it seems like a fair, a smartly run franchise with, I think, the best coach in football.
I agree.
We'll see what happens with that. It'll be interesting. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show. It's Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James hanging out with you for another five. Get you ready for Rafter Baseball coming up.
Yeah.
Opening
on the way.
Pitch at 6:20. Come on by. Stick around. Enjoy. We got another week of Rafter Baseball we're excited about. Speaking of baseball, so my stat of the show was Flojo's time, mm-hmm. and the world record time and everything of 10:49. But I do want to say that one other stat that stood out to me was 5-1.
5-1. Okay.
Yes, that was the score of the White Sox over the Oakland A's yesterday, 5-1 victory. I could have easily went with 21 as well, as the losing streak ends for the White Sox at 21. And yes, everybody, this will probably be the last time I talk about the White Sox this season.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I was listening to something, and it was like, even if the White Sox won every single game the rest of the season, they still lost 88 games.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
They won this, and my first instinct was, one, relief, and two, wait, how many games are left in the season? Could they still do it? Is there more than 22 games left in the season? Because, I mean, they could go on another losing streak.
Oh, God. Oh, they could. They could.
Let's take a call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, man.
Hey, I heard you talking about the Steelers. Could this be the second coming of a slash quarterback system?
Oh, I'd love to see a young, another version of Cordell Stewart out there.
Wow.
Justin Fields could certainly do that.
Oh, he could.
I mean, he's got that kind of those wheels. He's gone over 1,000 yards at running back.
Yeah, but to answer your question,
quarterback,
no.
Yeah.
They're not going to do
that. No, probably not. No.
It'd be cool to see, but they're not going to do that.
Those days are so
long gone.
Yeah. If they're putting him back the punt return like the rumors were and everything, which we never saw any evidence of, but if they were actually doing that, he's a punt returner now. They're not the only people they do that to are running backs,
right?
Like running backs, they will Swiss Army knife them,
right?
But anybody else, I don't know,
or whatever Taysom Hill is, still don't have figured out what he does. Still,
I don't think he even knows. he doesn't know what to write down on his position sheet. I'm so confused. I do love the Cordell Stewart reference, though, man.
Just a fun story about Rafters. Last night, I saw something at the game I don't think I've ever seen before. Bases were loaded, and there was a home run over the foul pole, and they had to stop the game and determine whether or not it was fair or foul.
Wow.
And they determined it was fair. It was the first time I've ever seen game stoppage to determine a grand slam.
That's interesting.
That's cool. And that's a hard one to judge. If it goes over the pole, yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one, and that counts, man. We'll have some tickets here for you if you want. Stop on by sometime, okay, man?
All right, sounds good. Thanks again, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Have a good one. And again, a programming note, we have Rafter Baseball right up coming up for you.
Yep.
Rafters versus Fond du Lac.
Mm-hmm.
And do want to remind everybody, on Friday's show, Michael's going to be with us.
Mike Comer will be here. Yeah.
We're going to talk a little high school sports, getting people more and more ready for the high school season, especially high school football.
No one knows high school sports like that man. He is a font of knowledge.
He is a rain man of high school sports.
Yes.
We are going to take advantage of that.
We are.
We're going to enjoy having Michael with us. Mm-hmm. And going forward, he's going to be with us all season long. I did want to wrap up on one note. Charles Barkley intends to remain with TNT Sports through the remainder of his contract. The Hall of Famer player announced Tuesday that he will not retire next season, reversing the announcement he made in June during the NBA Finals.
That was a spur-of-the-moment thing.
He signed a 10-year contract extension with TNT back in 2022. So Chuck going to be doing this for a while.
That's a long contract.
Unless, of course, he retires again next year during the NBA Finals. But I
get the feeling he didn't think that the NBA was going to redo their entire media package.
Yeah.
So, wow. Anyway.
And that's a lot of money. lot of money to do what?
To
be Chuck,
man.
Yeah.
It's a nice gig if you could do it, if you could find it, man. You go with it.
I, for one, am extremely excited about this. I am very happy about it. I personally not only do it. Charles is funny. He says some kind of outrageous stuff. Don't forget that this is one of the smarter minds in sports.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Yeah.
One of the things that Charles Barkley leans on that other athletes have tried to do but can't is playing the dumb guy in the room sometimes. When, if you're paying attention, he's actually one of the smartest people
absolutely.
In the room. And he doesn't mind what you think of him. Yep. He doesn't care. He's going to come out in the end.
He's very sneaky that way, yes.
But I don't know how much anybody really believed he was going to retire, but
that
he is going to be sticking around. On Friday, I also want to talk a little Olympics, as it'll be our last show, I believe, before the end of the Olympics.
That's right, yeah.
So I want to get into that. A couple of interesting things about the Olympic Games, too. We got some random stats of the show for you when it comes to that.
Seth, all right.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us these last couple of shows.
Hey, not a problem.
And the same to all of you. We'll be back on Friday with more Playmakers right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.